Thank you so much, Emily. She did a great job, didn't she? Especially with some of those names. Well, that is that we're going to spend a bit of time reflecting on that Bible reading. If you've got a Bible or a device, open it up. You can check out some of the things that I say, that I'm being true to God's word. If you are looking up in the Bible, it's really towards the end of the Bible. It's just before the book of Revelation. So it's 3 John, Jude, Revelation. And it's part of the Bible that maybe we don't go to automatically, or we might not be that familiar with it. It's a letter written by the Apostle John to a leader or co-leader of a church, and his name is Gaius. And the church is likely somewhere in Asia, or what we know as Turkey today. And it's probably written late in the first century, so maybe about 50 years after Jesus died and rose again. And we'll look at some of the parts of that letter in depth. But we remember, it's coming from the Bible, it's part of God's word, so we're going to pray and ask for God's help. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to meet together, to encourage each other, to sing together, and to sit together under your word. So please impact us by your spirit today as we reflect on what you have said. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Emily started that Bible reading by those introduction to the letter, and it said, "To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth, dear friend, I pray that it may go, that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." And it's quite obvious that John thinks it is going well with Gaius' soul. And the question is why? And he answers that question in a way in the next two sentences. And that's what we got on the screen. I think the words that I've got on the screen are from the NIV, but the NIV and the ESV are very close if you've got a different version. John writes, "It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Did you notice a word that was repeated a few times in those sentences? Well, I notice a word. And the word that I notice being repeated a few times is the word truth. Truth is something that we've got to grapple with in so many ways. We are bombarded by so many fake things in our lives. Who's received a scamming text or phone call? Quick hand raise. Okay, I should have said hand raise if you haven't. We know there's so much misinformation in the media, whether it's political spin or a certain media outlet that we're listening to. Maybe it's false or decontextualized social media posts going viral, or deep fake images or videos or voice recordings. Truth is compromised everywhere. Fakeness surrounds us everywhere, and now made so much easier by AI. Sometimes doesn't matter whether something is true or false. Sometimes it can really hurt us if something is false, but it won't necessarily change our priorities or change our lives. But the truth that underlies this letter, the truth that John is talking about when he repeats that word, the truth, is a truth that will impact our lives and destinies. It will change our lives' priorities, and we can be certain of its source. So that's why I've just chosen the theme for the sermon today is truth, and we've got three sub-points or sub-themes, and those are the points there that you can't see. I can't see at the back. So walking in the truth, working for the truth, and wandering from the truth. So the first point, John says, "It gave me great joy to have some brothers tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth." The reason why Gaius is, John is so confident that Gaius, it's well with his soul, is that Gaius is walking in the truth. So what's the truth that's being spoken about? What's the truth about Jesus? It's more important than any Instagram post that you might be following or person that you might be friends with. And it's never explicitly stated in this letter, but it's mentioned again and again by John in other stuff that he's written. It's mentioned repeatedly in all over the Bible. It's the truth about Jesus. It's the truth about what he's achieved in his death and resurrection. It's the most momentous news ever declared in the history of the world. And it's the truth that will bring us life if we believe it, and it will leave us in destruction if we ignore it and don't believe it. And we call this truth the gospel. And this is why CMS's vision is a world that knows Jesus, because of the impact that this truth has on lives and on the world. But what does it mean to walk in the truth? Gaius is walking in the truth. What does that mean? It means daily remembering to trust in Jesus, in the effectiveness, in the sufficiency, the enoughness of what Jesus did to bring us back to God, to reconcile us to God, to deal with our sins and failures. Walking in the truth, continuing to trust in Jesus. But it also means living in a way that reflects Jesus' lordship or ownership of our lives. Walking is an active word. So walking in the truth is an ongoing activity that flows out of our trust in Jesus and affects our lives. Gaius is walking in the truth. Gaius continues to show John that he's a Christian, someone who will persevere as a Christian into all eternity. And John is really excited about this. And he's excited also because Gaius is like an elder or a sub-elder in this little congregation in Turkey. And that means he's influencing other people to walk in the truth. That's why John is so happy. Let me tell you about one of those missionary cards that I was holding up. That card is about this lady called Brittany. Brittany's from WA. She's a trained vet. She's done work on university campuses, gospel ministry. But now she's living in a Middle Eastern country. And she's spending a lot of time with a tribe of people called the Bedouin. I'm sure you've heard of them. And she's actually researching a respiratory disease which is transmitted between camels and people. So she's trying to discover what's causing that transmission and how that can be reduced. In fact, she was on holiday in WA last year, and I asked her what was one of the things that she discovered and one of the behavioral changes she was proposing. You know what she told me? She said she was trying to persuade the men to stop kissing the camels. And so I said to her, "Why are the men kissing the camels?" And I'm not going to tell you. You can talk to me afterwards. You can come talk to me at the table. I don't bite. Tell you a funny story. Anyway, apart from this research, which is giving her like a reason to be in this particular country and a kind of basis for her visa, she does ministry. She's discipling a young lady called Jasmine, and they meet regularly. They pray. They read the Bible, and it's a precious gift to both of them. Because Jasmine was a Muslim. And changing your religion in that part of the world is really, really hard. And it's really, really rare. Jasmine has been a Christian for about 2 years. And so for her to be able to discuss and to understand and to learn what it means to follow Jesus and how to trust him, it's mind-blowing. She's married to a man who's not a Christian. And there's a lot of pressure on her to conform to Islamic things or even return to Islam. But she's not. She's continuing to walk in the truth. She continues to trust in Jesus, in his death and resurrection, and to live in a way that honors him. And that brings her great joy, and it brings Brittany great joy, and all of us as we pray for her. I don't know what walking in the truth means for you. Come and share how you are challenged to walk in the truth afterwards. But friends, the truth in this letter is a truth that will and should impact our lives now and into eternity. I hope that everybody here is walking in the truth or being challenged to walk in the truth, to trust in Jesus and continue to live in a way that honors him. Second point from the next few sentences. Let me read them again. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. I've told the church about, they have told the church about your love, and you do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans, and we ought therefore to help, some Bibles say show hospitality or support, such men so that we may work together for the truth. So let's piece this together. What's going on here? So some brothers have been visiting Gaius and his church. Who are they and why did they visit? Well, verse 7 tells us that it was for the sake of the name that they went out. And what is the name? Well, we know it's the name of Jesus. So these brothers, they're not looking for a sea change. They're not tourists. They are going out for the sake of the name, means for the express purpose of serving Jesus and encouraging other people to serve him. Just like what Brittany has done. She's doing kind of secular research work, but she's gone out for the sake of the name. So they could be church planters, these brothers. They could be teachers. And they've come to Gaius' town, the local congregation, and they are evangelizing, they are teaching. And Gaius has welcomed them in. He's given them a place to stay. He's given them food to eat, washed their clothes. He's supplied their needs. He's brought them into the church. He's prayed for them. He's encouraged them. And in addition, he's sent them on their way in a manner worthy of God. He's maybe walked with them. He's given them further supplies. What he's doing is making it easier for them to do their ministry. So John says, well done to Gaius. And what he says to Gaius teaches us something so important. Look at verse 8. We ought therefore to help such men so that we may work together for the truth. So Gaius, in helping them, is working together with them for the truth. When you help someone doing Christian ministry, you are working with them. Your work is just as important as theirs. You are co-workers with them. They can't do their work without your work. And the gospel is so important that when you put your trust in Jesus and you understand what he's done for you, you want others to do the same. That's what happened to me, actually. My involvement in Vision goes back way beyond CMS. It was at uni when God intervened in my life and I understood how important it was to follow Jesus. And in fact, CMS, the history of CMS goes back. You've probably heard of the song, and I'm sure you've sung the song, Amazing Grace, right? Written by John Newton, the slave trader. John Newton, the converted slave trader, was one of the founders of CMS. The gospel changes our lives' priorities. Working for the truth can take so many forms. It can take the form of overt Christian ministry. It can take the form of us chatting to our friends about Jesus. It can take the form of us helping out a church in some way, giving towards the church, praying. For our missionaries like Brittany, working for the truth means that they've packed up their lives and they've gone from here, they've gone overseas. But just as they are working for the truth, every person that is praying for them, that has subscribed to their prayer points, receives them, prays for them, and gives towards them, is also working for the truth. And John says we ought to do this. It's a must. The changing of the truth of the gospel changes our life's priorities. And Gaius is not just helping them in any old way, he's doing it in a manner worthy of God. I've heard that in past years, sometimes people might send missionaries secondhand clothes or secondhand toys for their kids. I've even heard that missionaries were sent secondhand tea bags with a note, only used once. Now, I would say those are examples of people being sent in a way, in a manner not worthy of God. I think being sent in a manner worthy of God means we wouldn't be embarrassed if God showed up and saw what we were doing. I take it we are honoring God when we are sending someone in a manner worthy of God. CMS missionaries are pretty expensive. It takes a lot of money to send a CMS missionary, but we like to think that they are sent in a manner worthy of God, not because they are rich on location, but because we are able to put structures in place that ensure that they are well cared for, and that they can play the long game in their ministry. That's one of the CMS values, long term. We want our missionaries to be there, to invest in those relationships, invest in those languages in the long term. I've got no idea what missionaries are supported here at Willow Church, but I trust you are sending them in a manner worthy of God, generously supporting them, wholeheartedly praying for them, publicly, privately. If you'd like to sign up for one of those missionaries that I showed you earlier, that would be so encouraging for me and for them. And one of my prayers is, and I prayed it this morning before I came to church, is that one day Willow Church would partner with one of our CMS missionaries. So the truth of the gospel changes our priorities, because when we understand the gravity of what Jesus has done, we want others to experience him too. The gospel impels us to work together for the truth. So we've met Gaius. He's walking in the truth, and he's also working for the truth. But my final point comes from verses 9 and 10, where we meet a new character called Diotrephes. And he looks like he's an elder too at the church, but he seems to be very different to Gaius. Let's read about him. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Wow. That's quite a portfolio of Diotrephes in a couple of short verses. Nothing to do with us. Gossiping maliciously. Refusing to welcome the brothers. Stopping other people helping them. Disciplining them. So who's the us? Well, John is writing the letter. John is an apostle of Jesus Christ. So the us must mean John and the apostles. And these brothers that have been visiting, they are most likely people that have been trained by the apostles to carry the gospel baton as the apostles get older. They are probably part of what we might call an embryonic Bible school or a missions agency being run by the apostles. So by rejecting these brothers and even disciplining anybody that wants to help them, Diotrephes is rejecting the authority of the apostles. See, you'll have nothing to do with us. And the apostles are the very people upon whom
Jesus has conferred authority to take the news about him into the world. So Diotrephes, in rejecting the brothers, is rejecting the apostles, is rejecting Christ. Diotrephes is rejecting the truth. He was a Christian. That's how he's become an elder of the church. He probably still sees himself as a Christian. And he's a leader. He's got some capacity as a leader in the church. But he's wandering from the truth. That's my third point. And the big implication for us in that is that the ultimate truth is not to be found in social media and all that stuff or any particular church tradition. It's to be found in one place, the same place where the teachings of the apostles and the prophets are preserved for us, and that's the Bible. The Bible is the one reliable source of truth. Now, we had the one of the elders praying for about persecution, and we've heard about Jasmine, who might experience a bit of persecution, and the persecution of Christians is ongoing throughout the world. It's not a new thing. But what's interesting and really surprising in this letter is that Diotrephes is in the church. Persecution is happening in the church as well, not only outside of the church. And because he's an elder, this guy Diotrephes, he's influencing other people also to wander from the truth. He's influencing people to reject the apostles and reject their ministries. Why is he doing this? It could be a variety of reasons. It could be for financial reasons. It could be because of other persecution outside and he wants the heat off the church for a bit. So maybe he's just saying, let's tone down this teaching of the apostles. But the fact that Diotrephes exists in the church way back in the earliest history of the church in the New Testament means that we shouldn't be surprised when such people continue to exist in the church today, people who are in positions of authority in leadership, who in subtle or not so subtle ways utterly reject the truth. But it will always be obvious if we know the truth. So if you look at how John ends the letter, it makes that clear. John writes, "Dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God, and anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We speak well of him, and you know our testimony is true." It's quite interesting that John now endorses another person, Demetrius. We don't know who he is. He's quite possibly the one carrying the letter to Gaius. But one of the things John says is, Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, even the truth itself. What does that mean? I reflected on that, and I realized that the truth, what is the truth? It's the gospel. It's the teachings of the apostles. And it's preserved for us in the Bible. So I think that what John means is if you know the truth, if you know the Bible, it will enable you to discern truth from falsehood, good from evil. You'll be able to discern false leaders from true leaders, Diotrephes from Demetrius, because the Bible is the one reliable source of truth about God, about Jesus. And therefore, we must not wander from the truth. We must not wander from the Bible. So truth, we've learned in this letter what walking in the truth means, what working for the truth means, and why it's so important not to wander from the truth. There are so many truths out there that we are bombarded by all the time. Sometimes it doesn't matter what is true and what is false, but sometimes it's really important. But the truth that underlines this letter is a truth that impacts our lives, our destinies. It changes and must change our priorities. And we can be absolutely certain of its source. It's found in the Bible that we have on our phones or in our hands. And that's the truth that underpins the work of CMS and our missionaries as they work towards a world that knows Jesus. So let me pray as we close. Father God, thank you for this situation that was happening in this church, as painful as it is, and that caused John to write this letter, that shows us how important it is for us to continue to walk in the truth by trusting in Jesus and living in a way that honors him. Please help us to do that. Please also help us to work together for the truth, together with those who are doing ministry locally and internationally, because that is what Jesus commanded and that is what we ought to do. And please protect us from wandering from the truth. But help us to continue to trust and to make every effort to read the Bible and to study it as your reliable source of truth. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.